and clearly called us into the ministry. So I don't know if Jonas or Melvin want to go first, but I figured I would probably follow up. We're going to have about 45 minutes. You know, this is a time just where we can talk, open up for questions and answers, which I figure each one of us will do. And then we're going to have the other group join us, and hopefully, did you get enough to eat? Okay. So what we're going to do is have the big meal tonight, so we didn't want to give you too much so you could handle the big meal later on. Tonight will be the biggest meal you get, so, and we're going all out. We're excited about it, and you going, Jonas, you want to come first? Come on up, and do you have a, great, got Jonas, you've already heard Jonas speak, but I'm just thinking, you know, share a little bit about your personal life, testimonies, and Q&A.
15 minutes.
Yeah, 15 minutes. This is what I'd love to do. We need to record all of the questions so that they are on the recording. So from now on, Paul, we need to have the mic and that. So thank you.
All right. Am I on? Testing. There we go. Under my chin. All right. Well, it was a good meal. Good meal. And glad y'all are back here. I want to just take a little bit of time and share some of my experiences, you know. You know, everybody's experience is a little different, but they're all awesome because it's what God does in our life. So I'll just go way back. I grew up in an old order Amish home in central Missouri on a dairy farm, had a good life, had 12 brothers and sisters, and I was towards the tail end of it. And so I had a very normal life. I had good parents, loving parents. I think they were a little overwhelmed at times with so many kids to take care of and a farm and all that. But I've got lots of good memories. But I remember distinctly growing up, you know, just the Bible stories they taught me and all that kind of stuff. But never really knowing. If I was to die today, where would I go? Never really knowing. And I always tried to be a good boy. My dad was an Amish bishop, and so, you know, a little bit in the limelight, you got to be pretty good. But even as a young child, God gave me a burden that I didn't understand for lost people. I remember as a young boy passing out Bible tracts, putting them in people's mailbox, and, you know, praying for the town drunk and all that, even though I didn't understand salvation. You know, I was living a works-based salvation. But God was, I think, early on putting that in my heart. And Melvin shared the baptism. It's traditional. Traditional age is somewhere 16, 17, 18 years old. Traditional age to get baptized. And so when I got to that age, my dad asked me one day, he said, you know, you ready to join the church, be baptized, whatever? And I said, well, you know, I had given it some thought. I knew it was getting close to time. And so I told him, I said, well, if that's what I should do, then yes, I want to do that. He said, no, I want you to take some time, think about it. I want it to be your decision. And so I did. I took some time, but I thought, well, you know, they expect me to. It's time. You know, there's nothing to keep me from it. So I attended the instruction classes for the next 9 or 10 weeks. The day came to be baptized. I was looking forward to it. You know, I had read the stories about people getting saved, getting baptized, and feeling this awesome experience, you know, and feeling as light as a feather. And I was disappointed that day. I got wet, and that was really about it. And I remember that evening thinking about it. But, you know, I just, well, that's the way it is. I accepted the fact and moved on in life, and life was good. Met my wife, got married, and we had the family tradition of having family devotions every morning. Dad would read a chapter out of the Bible, and Mom and Dad would talk about it a little bit. We'd listen, and, you know, and then we'd go do our chores. So when we got married, we carried on that tradition. The first thing we did, we started in the book of Romans in the German language, the High German, which we, in my home community, we set aside Friday afternoon at school to learn the High German. So I could read and understand it fairly fluently. But the book of Romans is a very technical book about salvation. Paul gets very technical there. And so right out of the gate, after we were married, Romans was our devotional, and it went completely over my head. Of course, you know, we were in love, just married. Wasn't the priority in my life necessarily. But it made an impact on me, that it just, Romans did not make any sense. It was about the law and about works and about, I don't know. I didn't know. And so several years later, I had some good friends, Baptist friends around me that I was good friends with, and they'd come by. And I was a little different from maybe most Amish people. I was open to talk about the Bible and about religion and stuff. Anyway, we would discuss things. One day, I started thinking about life. And, you know, some of this is kind of vague memory, but I started thinking about life, and the question came to me, if I was to die today, where would I go? And as I reflected back over my life, I decided I'm a pretty good person. I've always tried to do what was right. I've stayed pretty much within the rules of the church. I'd messed up a few times, but I'd made it right, you know. So I came to the conclusion I was good. If I was to die, I'd go to heaven. God used that. Over the next week or two, I don't even know what happened, but I lost my peace. Some things came up. I realized I really don't know where I'm going. I really don't. And I started seeking. I started reading the Bible and seeking. And right at this time, I come across an old preacher man in Tennessee wrote a book, commentary on the book of Romans, chapters 1 to 8. I saw it advertised. And immediately my interest was piqued because I remembered the book of Romans not making any sense. So I bought the little book, written in English, and a commentary. It was verse by verse, laid out, well laid out. I started reading that book. And for the first time in my life, I made the connection between the story of Jesus going to the cross and for our sins. Because my dad would always preach that he would tell the story about Jesus and that he died for our sins. He was very good at telling the story. Would get very graphic about how Jesus hung on the cross, the blood running down, and it was for our sins. He took the beating for our sins. But he would always put it this way: we do the best we can, and we hope that in the end of our days, Jesus will bridge the gap. He'll cover the rest of it with his blood. And so, reading that commentary on Romans for the first time in my life, I realized that Jesus was it. That was it. He died on the cross for all of my sins. I can't do anything. Changed my life. When I saw that, I really got excited. I shared it with my wife. We got on our knees and we prayed. We asked God to forgive us of our sins. I didn't even know the term being saved or born again. I just knew that I had found the way to salvation. It was the beginning of a journey. I was still in the Old Order Amish Church, had no intentions of leaving, didn't fully realize the difference between the Amish religion and what I'm reading in the Bible. So over the process of the next 5 or 6 years, God would little by little keep drawing me closer. One of the big hurdles I had was the works versus faith thing, because I knew the Bible talks about works, and yet it was so clear in Romans, it's by faith. And one day my dad was preaching, and the sermon he was preaching came across very much as a works-based salvation. And I asked him some questions later. I said, I just learned recently that salvation is by faith alone in Jesus Christ. And immediately he was alarmed. He said, people that talk like you're talking, they leave the Amish. That's a false doctrine. He said, yeah, it is by faith in Jesus Christ, but you've got to have the works too. And so for the next month, that was every time he preached, that was his topic. He preached on works, preached heavily. One Sunday in particular, I was sitting back there. He had the main sermon. There's about 3 sermons in an Amish service. And he was hammering the subject. I was kind of amazed because I wasn't feeling guilty. I knew he was preaching to me, and yet it didn't bother me because I knew something had changed in my heart. But his closing statement, he quoted a passage in Scripture, and I'm not sure which one it was. There's several passages in the Bible. Speaks about Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. That was the passage he quoted before he sat down. Blew his whole sermon completely out of the water. I sat there just, wow. God spoke to me that day. I realized one more time, God is real, and God sticks with His Word. And so I still puzzled over that the connection between grace and works. I now understand it. I now understand that we are saved by grace. But as Christian people, we are to do the work of the Lord, which is good works. And so, but anyway, process of time, 5 years later, there was struggle in the community, always about stuff. People would move in, they'd move out. And I was like, why can't we live the way we do? Because we want to, instead of the thought that this is what makes us right. But I didn't have much of a voice in the church. And so my wife's parents moved to Western Kentucky to a New Order Amish church. And so we went out there and visited, and we thought, wow, this is pretty good. They had more Bible teaching. And so in a process of time, through a very hard struggle, we actually sold our place, made plans to move, had the trailer parked in front of our house to load it. Sunday evening, my sister came over before we were going to load truck Monday morning, and she made a statement. She said, what if you moved down there to that New Order church and your children get a taste of the world and they never want to come back? And man, did that put me in a tailspin. That night I struggled and I struggled. Ended up giving it all up completely. We're staying. Next morning, I was so happy that burden was lifted. I was so free. But within the week, that burden all came back. And I felt like I just climbed back in the mud hole where it was comfortable, because nothing had changed. Nothing had changed. It was still the same community, same problems. So a week later, plans were back in place, and we moved to Western Kentucky. About a year and a half into the New Order Amish Church community there, again, I was totally committed. I was 100% committed to raising my family in the Amish church. But about a year and a half into it, I realized that the New Order church is basically, it's another page, but it's the same story, same system, a little bit more teaching, almost enough more teaching to make it a little bit more confusing, if you will. So about 2 years into that, church struggles came up, and this time it was about doctrinal issues, and finally it came to the point where we had to either compromise our beliefs or move on. Compromise our beliefs to stay in the church or else move on. We chose to move on. Now, traditionally, the right thing for us to do would have been to find us another church, be it Amish or Mennonite, that we can agree with and go to. But the Lord again spoke to my heart, and He showed me there's lost people in Western Kentucky. And you know, just because I don't agree with the church is not a good reason to, you know, move halfway across the nation or whatever. And so we stayed. But through this process, struggle of leaving and realizing that 281,000 people are wrong, the Lord gave me a burden to reach back to these people. And the Lord works in mysterious ways. He gave me the burden for the Amish people, and then He dropped me in the middle of prison ministry. There's a prison ministry right there in our local town. I got involved with that, still involved with it, heavily involved with it. And now, here about 5 years later, I'm beginning to see the picture that God saw 5 years ago or even before that. The Amish people, as they, like Pastor John shared this morning, Romans 10, they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. And when they get saved, they still have that zeal for God. But unfortunately, there's not very many people out there discipling these people. And if they don't get discipled, they just become a nominal Christian. And prison ministry is a perfect place to plug them into. And so in the past 2 years, I've been able to help several, 15 to 20 former Amish and Mennonite plug into prison ministry. A ministry that is going somewhere, people are getting saved, people are getting discipled, and several of them have shared testimonies that the prison ministry has changed their life. It has given them a reason for life, a purpose. And so I see that as what God has put me here for. Help share the gospel with the Amish people, but don't just leave them hanging. They've got to be discipled. Amen.
Hello. I think you all know I'm Melvin Schrock from Turtle Lake, Wisconsin, but I was born in Medford, Wisconsin, the oldest Old Order Amish community in the state of Wisconsin. Lived there till I was about 11 years old. My dad moved further west up to a community called Chautauqua, Wisconsin. There we lived for 9.5 years. It was through that time that God started drawing me, working in my life, and way before I even knew what was happening in my life, God was already at work. Soon after I was through school, God was drawing me, and I had that empty voidness in my life, and I was looking up to the point where if I would just join church, join the youth, obviously I would be able to overcome that and fill that voidness, that something I longed for. I was a lonely person. I joined the youth, and nothing really seemed to change. Shortly after that, I was taking baptismal instruction class, was going to be baptized into the Amish church, and I was really looking up to that, thinking that this will be a big change in my life. I will suddenly, for the first time, maybe realize what salvation is made up out of. I was looking for something to achieve, something to earn, something to I could do that I would earn my way to heaven. It was before that, one day I was plowing, and my dad was a dairy farmer. I was doing field work with horses. I had a lot of time to, my thoughts could go to and from as I give my horses rest. One day I got off the plow, and I knew all along that I did not have salvation. And one day I got off the plow and I knelt and I looked up to heaven and I said, God, please don't let me die. I want to have salvation. I had no idea what it took to get there, but God had a plan. It wasn't until many years later that God brought a missionary man and shared the gospel with me. But anyway, I thought if I get baptized, perhaps I would be able to understand where salvation would come from. And at the day of my baptism, they told me I was a new creature in Christ. My sins were washed away. If I had died, I would go to heaven. I tried to believe that for a period of time, and I did believe it, and soon realized I was still just the same old sinner that I had been. I was still involved with the same sins I was in. So I was thinking, well, you know, the void spot was still there. If I just perhaps get married, you know, I had a girlfriend. I was dating my wife, and I was thinking, you know, in the future when I get married, this will all get taken place, and for the first time, I'll have what I need to have in life. I got married, and I was in love with my wife, and still am, but, you know, nothing really ever changed in my life. It wasn't until several years later, I was probably married 5-6 years, I was becoming very suicidal-minded because life had no purpose. Life was growing dim. There was no reason for me to live because I had no plan in life. So, and I knew if I had died, I would go to hell anyway. So I had really nothing to lose if I took my life now or versus I lived for several more years. But then again, God had a plan. It wasn't until several years later, one day, God sent a man on my way, and he shared the plan of salvation. We were living in the community, and there was a lot of turmoil going on. There was we had trouble in the community. We had other bishops coming in trying to straighten our whole mess out, and they didn't have any success. And so people were moving back out, and there was only 4 Amish families living there, and we were one of those 4. It happened to be a Mennonite person. He was a Christian man. His dad had left the Amish when he was just a young toddler. So he knew the Amish way of thinking, and right away he asked me why I don't just come join their church. I wouldn't even have to move. I could just stay where I am at, and I told him because of church vows, I promised the church I would be faithful to the Amish church even until I die. That was one of my baptismal vows. And therefore, he said, yeah, but are you born again? And I said, yeah, I am. So he said, yes, but what's your testimony? I said, what is a testimony? And he explained to me that if I had a testimony, if I was truly born again, I would have a testimony. I would be able to point back to my life what happened, of why I was born again. And immediately I had an answer. I said, I was baptized, because that was the way I was taught up until this point was, the day I got baptized, I was born again. And he just looked straight at me and he said, that's not born again. So are you born again? And I said, I think I am. And he asked me for the third time. He looked at me again. He said, that's not born again. He just said, so are you born again? And I simply had to tell him I wasn't. And it was at that time I realized I was lost. I didn't get saved that day, but it sent me off searching. And we had an English Bible in the house, but we very rarely read it because we were discouraged in reading English. We were told to read German, so something we didn't do was read the English Bible. But that sent me off reading the English Bible, and soon afterwards I got hope of eternal life. I seen what I needed, I seen what I wanted, and I needed salvation. And anyway, it was after a short period of time after that, we decided we had to leave the Amish culture because of not, I was 30 years old and never heard a plan of salvation in my life. So we started going to the Mennonite church, and soon after that we decided to leave the Amish, and we didn't know, had no idea what was going to happen after that, but we wrote our folks that we were going to leave. They had already moved out of the community, and that very next day they were at our house and crying on our shoulders of the decision that we had made that we were going to leave. And finally, after 2 days of trying to persuade it, persuade us, they actually got us persuaded to remain Amish. They told my wife that they would take her, and if I wanted to come, that they would also take me, but they would have took my wife and children that very day and would have moved them right out of my house if she had given in. But in order to keep our marriage together, I surrendered too, and they made us move out of that community. My in-laws came and stayed at our house for like 14 or 17 days until we actually did move into the other community on my dad's farm, and moved there. We remained Amish for about 2 more months, and my dad actually took the English Bible away from me, and he told me that was my very problem. The very root of my problem was because I was digging into the Word too much, and I got deceived. And so he took my English Bible away, after we moved to my dad's farm, we remained Amish for 2 more months, and then we left. We actually just disappeared at night. We packed our suitcases, and we put them on a toboggan, and we took them out across the field, and down met a friend of mine out by the road, and we put all our suitcases in. We headed for out of state, and we was out of state down in South Dakota just to disappear for like a week and a half or so, and we came back to Wisconsin, and got some friends together, moved our belongings out, and after we were out at the Amish for about a month, I attended a men's seminar in Pennsylvania, and there in the evening they had a salvation message. That's where I give my heart and life unto Christ and accepted Him as my Lord and Savior. Life has never been the same. It's changed drastically. I wouldn't change it for the world. Shortly after we went out of the Amish, I was thinking if I could only go to a local church and share with the church who the Amish are, what they believe, what their practices are, and get them to witness, because I'm shunned, excommunicated. I can't go back and witness to them like you folks have a bigger opportunity than I do. And it wasn't until a year or two later after I had that burden, had that vision, I found out of Jochim Map Ministry. And as soon as I found out about that, I always had a burden, had a desire to reach out to the Amish and to share it, get the gospel out to them. And it wasn't after talking with Joe for several years, I think it was, until we finally met, and he was the one that helped me define the calling of God to go and get involved with the ministry. And so we've been trying to raise our support, speaking at about 2 churches every month, and presenting the ministry. And I just love what I do, and I think God has been calling me into the ministry. So we have a plan to keep raising our support and go into ministry full time. So.
Are living in the Midwest and you have a desire to have someone come in and present the ministry, you can call on Melvin. His contact information is out there. They have a prayer card. If you live down south or up around Pennsylvania, Jonas has been going out and presenting the ministry, he and his wife, so you can call on him. His contact information is out there as well. They're both trying to get support to go full-time into ministry, and we stand behind them. The board has approved them, and we're excited to minister together. Thank you for those testimonies. Well, I'm going to share my testimony for the next 15 minutes, and then we're going to have a break. In my family, I grew up just a little bit west of here, about 10, 15 minutes. My dad was a jack of all trades. First of all, he didn't get married until he was a little bit older because he had spent time in prison. My dad and a couple of my uncles had gone to prison because they were drafted to go to the Vietnam War and couldn't because the church wouldn't allow them to. So they ended up going to prison, and because of that, he didn't get married until later. And yet, Mom and Dad had 14 of us children. I was the oldest. I was going through life, and I was very much just a, at home. Can I get you to close that door? We really don't want group green group to come in until tomorrow, and because you're going to hear the same thing again. Can we close that door, please? If you are in the green group, you're welcome to just stay out. Maybe tomorrow we're going to do the same session again. I'm sorry, red. Yeah, if you're part of the red group, I'm very sorry. Now, you can come and listen to it twice if you want. But anyways, life's going on. My dad was into everything. He was, first of all, a blacksmith. He shot horses for even some of the people who had show horses that had spent tens of thousands of dollars on horses. They were bringing them to him, and he was one of their best shoers. And then he got involved in some veterinary work. And so he was called all over the place to Amish and non-Amish and helping out with horses that were down. And so that led to studying about vitamins and herbs. And eventually people started showing up. And we'd have people come in from out of state. And they would start using his vitamins and herbs, and that led on to other things. I mean, he wrote books, several books, and he started speaking to Amish. Today, he goes all over the country, even speaking in medical hospitals and to doctors about a salve called B&W ointment that he came up with on his own. And it's a burn salve that if you put it on as soon as a person gets burned, it will actually grow skin. You don't have to skin graft. It grows skin, and you won't hardly be able to see any scars at all when it's done. So this has become a multi-$10,000, tens of thousands of dollars of a business. But because Dad was so busy and always running, something happened inside of me at the age of 15. I went from this little perfect little Amish boy to just falling apart. My cousin came along, and he was falling apart. We saw things eye to eye, and we began to talk about, rebelling and doing things like, doing things our parents didn't want us to do. And eventually, at the age of 17, he and I just decided we're going to leave the Amish. And so one night, on a Sunday night, we began to walk toward town, and we were walking toward town, and about 4 o'clock that morning, we started coming into the city lights. We were very tired, had no idea where we were going, and we came down Pleasant Street, saw an open garage and two cars in the garage. He crawled into one car, I called into the other car. Hey, Arlen, can you please keep those doors closed? We really want people to stay out. So he crawled into one car, I crawled in the other, and we both went to sleep. About an hour later, the owner came out to go to work, and he was like, "Who are you guys? I want you out of here." And as quickly as he was able to, we were back out on the street. We had, again, we had nowhere, we didn't know where we were going. We had no job. We had about $50 in our pocket. So we went up Claremont, and there was a Big Wheel, I believe is the name of it, like a Walmart, that was up by Hawkins. We went in there. We had just enough money to where we bought two Dukes of Hazzard t-shirts and jeans and white sneakers. And we were dressed almost identical, but that wasn't a big deal because we were used to it. We went back behind the... We went back behind the Big Wheel, and we threw our Amish clothes down, put those clothes on, and walked back down. We were on an open porch where they had some other clothes hung out, and we were looking at it, and the lady goes, "Where are you guys from?" And she could obviously tell that we had Amish haircuts and didn't know what we were doing. And so we left the Amish. "Well, do you have a place to stay?" "No, we don't have a place to stay." "Well, I have a spare bedroom upstairs. You can stay here for at least a couple weeks." And so Eli and I were very glad because we found a spot to lay our heads at night. And it wouldn't be until sometime later that we found out that her husband was in jail and found out that his wife had taken two guys in and he was waiting to get out because he was going to just take care of us boys as soon as he got out. And we were sincere. We didn't, you know, we were just trying to figure out how to survive in life. And but that's how it was. And that's why we have a ministry today. That's how it still is. You know, we have a culture in the middle of America, and even though we rubbed shoulders with the outside world, we didn't know how to live in your world. We were so separated that we watched you from a distance. Once in a while, we needed your assistance, and we hired you for a taxi driver. We may have used you for a phone, but beyond that, it was not. We didn't have much of an education. We didn't know how to get jobs. I didn't need a Social Security number where I was from. We didn't even hardly need a birth certificate. Many of the ones that are leaving today, at least from the Schwarzentruber groups, are oftentimes without a birth certificate at all. And all of a sudden, I needed all these things. So anyways, that's why in 1999, we had been helping a number of people along the way that were leaving. The first one was Harvey. I remember his name was Harvey. He was from Wisconsin. I believe it was Greenwood, Wisconsin. He had called us. And now we're out. I was married, and we're out in your world now. And we had our own house, and Harvey calls, and he goes, "Hey, I'm thinking about leaving the Amish." And I said, "Well, Harvey, if you can find a way to get here, we'll give you a place to stay." And so he called me one day, and he said, "I figured it out. I'm coming in with the Greyhound bus." And so the morning that he comes into Mansfield, Ohio, I'm there. I'm waiting for this Amish man to crawl off the bus. And as I'm standing there and I'm waiting, all these other people came off, and there was no Amish man. And all of a sudden, there was no people at all. And I thought, huh, he must not have gotten on the bus. And so all of a sudden, here comes this man, and this is, I'm not kidding, he was dressed from camouflage from the top to the bottom, completely all camouflage, and he was carrying a gun, a shotgun. I had it covered up, but back then I guess you didn't check people, but that's how he traveled on the Greyhound bus. So he was the very first young man that came and lived with us. Since that day, my wife and I have taken in over 100 young people from all over the country. We have a young girl staying with us right now, Miriam, that is 18, and she is from Kentucky. And Esther and I get together once a week, and we spend an entire hour and a half, just sitting and talking about life. This last meeting we had, and we do it every week, I said, what's happened? I mean, we're talking about life. We're talking about marriage. We're talking about raising a family. We're talking about staying pure. We're talking about salvation, just the basic things. And this past time we met, I said, how's things going, Miriam? Are you getting something out of this? She goes, "Joe, I absolutely love to come to these meetings. These are things that my dad and mom never taught me, or no one else ever taught me." And so that's how we are reaching out to the young people, giving them a place to stay, helping them get their GEDs, their birth certificates, and their Social Security numbers, and jobs, and however we can help them. But more importantly, my desire is to help them know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Amen. That's always at the top. It is not our goal to change the culture. It's not our goal to rip families apart. It is our goal to take Jesus to them and help them understand how that only through Jesus Christ can we have everlasting life. Now, the ministry, I was a tool and die maker for most of the years that I had left the Amish, because I had learned much of that in my dad's shop before I left in 1987. And so for all those years, I was a machinist, tool and die maker, and in 1999, I was working for Newman Technology, and I began to really feel a burden for the Amish. I didn't know there were any missionaries out there. I had no idea even how to reach out and help them. I knew that we were helping them, but to go full time, what would that look like? We have no idea, really didn't. And I finally went to my pastor at the end of 1999. I said, I have a question. What does it feel like when God calls you? What are you supposed to feel like? How am I supposed to know it's God and not just me? And that is when he said, I already have a name for your mission to Amish people. And that was the beginning. That was in February of 2000. And I stood here and I shared Romans 10, the one that was read this morning. My prayer, my desire is for the Amish to be saved. And so when I went full-time, we started out in that room, and then we added, and we went to that room, and then we added, and for a while, I was behind that baptistry. My desk was back there. We had a couple in each room, and then finally, it was like, you know, we're at a point where we just need to go build our own building, and so we went out there, and just recently, we added on in the back. For those of you that are green, right, green, you're going over there tomorrow, and you're going to see that part of it. Okay, we just have about 5 more minutes left, and I'm wondering if anybody would have a question about what was shared thus far. How many times did I leave and come back? 7 times. How many of you watched the PBS special? Did you see that? Yes. Wasn't that good for PBS? You know, I was shaking. I was afraid. You know, I was letting our supporting churches and other people know to watch it. But I thought, you know, they could make a real fool out of me. But then when it was all done and over with, I said, praise God. They brought the gospel in. And that's the one thing I wanted to happen. So, yes. Any questions? Yes. Can you turn this on, Mike? Please speak in the mic when you ask questions. That way we can record it.
One of them I had, Bible stories, you know.
Bible stories were similar to what we learn in Sunday school classes out here. You know, Abraham, Moses, Adam and Eve and Noah, and those stories were the type of study, the stories, that, Old Testament stories. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
All right. Yes, I'm just curious, as what do the Amish preachers preach when they preach to you on Sunday mornings or whenever? I've been sort of told that it's mostly Old Testament type stories, so I'm just curious to know that.
Yeah, we're actually going to cover that a little bit more in the next 2 sessions, so I don't want to go into great detail, but yes, the answer is it's a little bit, they tend to lean a little bit more toward Old Testament stories, Old Testament type of God. I grew up thinking God was more of a, you know, walk the line or I will strike you. Almost more, I mean, grace and love were things that were just not there, you know. It was more of a rigid black and white God, you know, look what God did to Noah, and look what he did when Abraham made his detour down into Egypt, you know. And, oh, you don't want to disobey God. That's more of the type of preaching we had.
Why do you think this is so? Why the emphasis always on a fearful God and obey, obey, obey versus grace and love? Do you know?
Because it's that kind of mindset. That's what we grew up with. We had lots of rules, and even the God we served had lots of rules. And if we didn't walk the line, then, you know, either the church or God or the parents or somebody would set us straight, and in some cases, a public confession before all the Amish members in the church if we didn't walk the line.
It's hard for me to understand. I mean, the Amish have the Bible, and they have the story of Jesus Christ, and they teach that, his death and resurrection and the sacrifice for sin. How can they miss that? I mean, rules are good, and we need to live our faith, but how can they miss that one step of salvation?
For the God of this world has blinded. That's the only answer I have for that. Yes.
I was raised Amish, and the reason they don't they have this problem that they miss salvation is because they don't understand what they're reading. They're using the High German scriptures, and that's not our language. Mm-hmm. And we speak Pennsylvania Dutch, and there's a confusion there. Some of the High German words have changed meanings. since they came from overseas. Mm-hmm. And we still take our Pennsylvania Dutch meaning for them, and they're wrong. So the scriptures that they actually read from High German, oftentimes they get a completely wrong idea about it. Mm-hmm. And salvation is something that's, to them, is sort of under, it's not really on top of the page. You know, it's something that they don't get because they don't understand what they're reading.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, very much so. We're out of time. I want to, you just heard Hank Hersperger. He is the translator for the Pennsylvania Dutch Bible. And Hank, we are going to give you some time. I want to hear from you. I know these people want to hear from you because you did a marvelous work that God used you for. All right. Well, we will take more questions. We will do more of this. But for right now, we're going to take a break. We got 15 minutes. You can go and just get